Welcome to the show. We're here until 3. I'm John Murphy. Chris Brown is here in for the vacationing Steve Tasker. And we kick off today's show with a special guest. Bills General Manager Brandon Bean takes time out of his schedule to come by. Have you caught your breath at all yet from the pace that you put in this week?
Yeah, we're trying to. Where's the heck's Tasker at? So can I go on vacation with him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's far away. He doesn't want me to say where he is.
Oh, I got you.
But he'll talk about it when he comes back in a week.
All right, good.
Yeah, he picked a weird week, right? He picked a weird week to get away.
He doesn't care, huh?
I will relay that message to him.
Some of us are trying to win around here.
Trying to win a championship here, Steve. Yep. Hey, first of all, congratulations, and congratulations on holding up this week, because I know it was a busy week starting way back on Monday, huh?
Yeah, it's it was obviously got very busy Monday. We've a lot leading up to this. We'd returned from the combine the week before, and once we got back there, it was all eyes turned back onto the pro free agents, and so we worked it through the weekend and really just tried to hone in on who our targets were, where positions of depth were from the draft, and then compare those to positions of depth in free agency, and where we might need to be a little more aggressive here, and we can be a little more patient here.
I heard you say yesterday that you set up essentially a draft-type board to get ready for free agency this week. But your needs have to be prioritized, right? I mean, it can't be just a strict player grade board.
Yeah, this is draft is by drafting best player available.
Right.
Free agency is all about your needs,
right?
To help you be able to go into the draft and with very few so-called needs. And so, yeah, we're looking for good players, and we put them into various tiers from tier one down to tier four of how we see these guys. And some guys there were certain positions we didn't target a tier one guy. We just felt like that's not as big of a need. That's not as wise a use of our money. I mean, listen, we'd love to have all those tier one guys, but that's not realistic. We also had to factor in injuries, character, all the various things that we look at in the draft when deciding to bring a player here.
The other thing that's different about that board is you got to put the expected value in there too, the cost. And I'm sure you have two or three people designated to kind of narrow that down so you have an accurate range. So when you get on the phone, you're not miles apart from where that guy and his agent might be, right?
Yeah, you do your best. You know, there's all sorts of smoke on out there, and guys with agendas, and between agents and reporters and other teams, what you're hearing on certain guys. So you try to keep your ear to the ground and see what's real and what's fake. Because listen, it's the agent's job to drum up business for their guy and drum up the value. But you've got to do your own value of what you see his play to be across his peers, in the league.
With Brandon Bean, the Bills general manager, for a few minutes here to get things started on the show this Friday. Hey, Steve and I, when Steve was working earlier this week, we were talking about what the atmosphere must be like up there in personnel land, up on the second floor.
Yeah.
Where did you work? Did you work in the draft room, essentially, or did you stay in your offices? And what was it like? Was it crazy? It was like the floor of the Wall Street there and, the stock exchange or what?
Yeah, it was at times. I've never checked my steps, but I got a lot of steps in this week just walking, up there on the second floor. We had several legit meetings that we had scheduled, but most of them were impromptu meetings. So we had, probably a long meeting on Monday morning and another one on Tuesday. So at 9 a.m., I had a crew of guys from, our contract guys to our scouts in my office. And we piled in there and we just reviewed. And part of that was laying out the game plan of maybe I know this agent a little bit better. Maybe Dan Morgan knows this agent a little bit better. Maybe Jim Overdorf or Joe Shane or whoever. And we split it up at noon, who's going to start calling these guys and at least express interest. They're not going to jump on it and sign it right there generally, but start to express interest that, listen, don't do a deal. Keep us in it. We're very interested. Let us know how it goes. And you start following along with text and calls. And basically, once you kind of got a fish on the line and he's starting to ready to do a deal, where is that at? Is that in Jim Overdorf's office or Kevin Megang, or maybe it's happening in my office? And again, we did that all day on Monday. And then we left here late. We came back Tuesday morning and we took a good look at it, just like we do in the draft. Who's left? Who's gone? What are still some needs we can fill? We actually turned the film back on and with the coaches, brought some of them in and just said, all right, let's talk about these two and make sure we have this right, the order, because there was a little bit of discrepancy in a couple of the guys. And we did that, and then we kind of spread out and went to work again.
Because I was going to ask you the level of input from the coaches. Obviously, you had a guy in the building here that knew John Feliciano really well, yep, in Bobby Johnson, the offensive line coach. I'm sure there are other coaches that have a measure of familiarity just by the way coaches travel and players travel in, yep, this league. So how does that input work? Because, you know, you'll have your list of what you prefer to have, but there's valuable resources here that you can tap into to truly know a guy that maybe you might not know as well personally.
Yeah, I mean, we tried to, any of the guys that we had targets on, if a coach had been here, and it could be, listen, it could be a guy on offense that a defensive coach knew from that team. So we tried to get background with any of the coaches that had been around, or it, okay, could even be a staff. It could be a scout that was with a guy. So that was all part of the pre-free agency planning of making sure this guy would fit. But, you know, talking to, you know, about Feliciano and Bobby, you know, was over there coaching in Oakland, so he had a great, right, familiarity, not only with the type of person, but truly how smart he was and how he would fit what we're doing here.
With Brandon Bean, the Bills general manager, as the first week of free agency comes to a close, it's not the end of free agency. In fact, I want to ask you about, it was a pretty highly publicized visit by Ziggy Ansah that even people on Twitter today are asking us, what's up, anything up with him? Is he still here?
He's not. He left and is visiting, you know, I don't know how many more teams. You know, he's probably got several lined up, but great young man, great player. You know, he had a significant injury, you know, last year to his shoulder, and I think he fought through it for a while and then finally had it fixed. But we had a great visit with him, really enjoyed meeting him and watching some ball with him and talking to him. And again, you only kind of can get him for a day. You'd love to hold on to him longer, but you have to be fair to him and to the other team. So we'll be, you know, we'll discuss with his agent and we'll see, you know, if something can be worked out, great. But that's kind of where it stands.
We had a caller to the show the other day say they can't let Ziggy Ansah out of the building. But the thing is, you're in a different phase now of free agency, right? And the time for that sort of approach is probably past now, right? Now you're more in a value phase. Is that accurate to say?
Yeah, probably so. And Ziggy's different because he's not healthy. And, right, and it's, you know, part of it was to come in and look at him medically and see where our doctors felt he was in the rehab process and when he would be available. So, and I'm sure that's what other teams will do. In fairness, I think he needed to do that. And it's a little bit harder and trickier when guys are injured, especially if it's something that could lead into training camp,
right,
and beyond.
Right.
So at the end of the day, it was a great visit, but no, he needs to do his due diligence, as will we, and we'll see where it goes.
One other thing that you mentioned in yesterday's press conference that piqued my interest a little bit was when you were talking about the dynamics of trying to, when you were getting close with John Brown and finishing something, and at the same time, you had another one of your people close with,
yeah,
Cole Beasley.
Yeah.
And there's a measure of concern there, because if one gets done significantly before the other, it could, even though they're two different receivers, as you mentioned,
yeah,
that's something that can scare an agent off or a player off if they don't think there's enough money left at a specific position in,
yep,
terms of your budgeting, right? Are those some of the concerns that you're kind of, you know, biting your nails on a little bit?
Yeah, as it was closing down and, you know, we were in I was with Jim and Overdorf, and we were working on John Brown's deal, trying to close him out. And then Kevin Megang and a couple guys were in his office, and they were working on Cole. And, you know, we had a quick meeting, and we were going to get back on the phone. And the goal was to try and close them both around the same time, and it coincidentally worked out. We thought we could. We were close on them both. And just to take that out, I think in the end they both wanted to be here. It would have worked out. But sometimes you can scare a guy off if you just sign another guy at that position. So from a timing standpoint, I wanted to do them at the same time once we were close.
That's not an easy thing to coordinate. I mean, first of all, you got to get the guy on the line.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you got to convince him to stay on the line. And then you're trying. You got two people. Where, I mean, is that when you got most of your steps in? You're going up and down the hallway there, I'm thinking.
We did it a lot. It kind of reminded me back of when we did the simultaneous trades with Sammy and Darby, because I needed players from each side to fill that we got back in the trades at the time. I didn't want one gone with the other because it showed where our need was. But it worked out. The guys did a great job. This is, you know, people saying we did this good. It took a village of people to get this done, and a lot of work that started with our scouts back in, you know, September when the season started.
The ninth man signed came late yesterday, Andre Roberts. Just tell us a little bit about him and why he became a valued piece of your free agent picture.
Well, you were watching the game. You probably know. You were probably calling our guys chasing him down.
He's probably pounding the desk in front of each other, right?
Yeah, 308 yards in two games on kick returns against us. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Andre, Bills fans will definitely know, especially if you were in our stadium that day and watched him. We kind of had control of that game until he had a couple long returns on us. And he had a really good year. He's a pro's pro. And, you know, Smoke, Gerald Dixon, one of our scouts, coached him at the Citadel.
I didn't know that.
And so we used that connection once it became free agent to help lure him here. And Smoke did a great job of, you know, telling him what we got and what we're doing. And once we got him signed, we were thrilled. Heath Farwell was really texting me and just excited that our new special teams coach that we got him, and look forward to welcoming him here and seeing what he can do in the return game for us.
It might be viewed as somewhat unconventional by outside observers, but three of these players that you brought in, you know, Andre's, I think he's 31. Mm-hmm. You know, we know how old Frank Gore is. I think everybody does at this point, although he's a freak of nature. And then Ty Nsekhe's, you know, he's 33 years old. But why, I guess maybe explain for people that are, you know, scratching their head, because most of the free agents you see getting money are 27, 28, 26. They're on their second contract. You kind of went a different way to find some answers here. Why did you feel comfortable that the value and the age was not really a concern, and that you got guys that are going to be able to help you for a little while here?
Yeah, I mean, age does matter, and we do consider that. But at the end of the day, we're looking for good football players. And I think what you see sometimes with age is we do shorter deals. But we didn't feel – one of the things you do with guys, especially if they're over 30, is you look at their play at the beginning of the year, and you look at their play at the end of the year. Do you see wear and tear, on, you know, if they were able to stay healthy?
Drop off,
do you see a drop-off? Is this guy the same or very close to the same player in December as he was in, you know, in September? And if you see a guy taking the dive, then you know, you know, this guy, maybe his career may be falling off the cliff. And that's not something that we saw with these guys. I mean, Nsekhe has been, you know, he had a non-traditional path to the NFL, and he's going to tell you, listen, I got a lot of years. I'm ready
to
go.
That's what he said yesterday. I got a lot of tread on the tire.
Yeah, he hasn't played a lot, and he's excited to have the opportunity to come and compete and potentially earn, you know, a starting position.
And you were even saying yesterday, just watching Frank's tape, I mean – if you didn't know how old he was, you wouldn't think he's going to be 36 in May or whenever his birthday is.
Yeah, you have to try and wipe that stuff out because it's natural for all of us. And listen, I told those guys when it comes across the ticker that we signed Frank Gore, everybody's going to say, you know, being such an idiot, which they probably are doing anyway. And there's 30 other reasons why they can say that. But at the end of the day, if you just turn on the tape and watch this guy run the ball and the toughness, the tenacity that he's played with, and again, he is a pro's pro. Of all the signings, he's the guy I said that I was truly have been a fan of this guy. So maybe that got in the way a little bit too. I don't know. But his energy down the hall yesterday, he signs his contract. He strapped his helmet on. I got to say that's the first time that's ever happened. And it was fun. Just the energy that he brought to our building was pretty neat to see. So I'm glad to have Frank here, and I think he's going to help bring some competition.
Murph and I were talking about it earlier this week when, you know, when it looked like he was coming here. I know it wasn't official by the team at that point, but, I mean, I know he's not known as a vocal rah-rah guy, but this is a guy, when he walks into the locker room, it's like everything stops. Yeah. I mean, he's that revered in this league, right?
Yeah, 100%. He is a guy that young guys I can point to and say, listen, he has defied odds at the running back position. He's still playing in his mid-30s. Tell me how many guys have played at his level into their mid-30s, and it's not by accident. It's he takes a pro's approach. He takes care of his body. He works hard. And when his number's called, he produces.
Hey, we're with Brandon Bean, the Bills general manager, talking about the first nine free agent signings this week. Well, I want to ask you to go back a little bit on Nsekhe and even a couple of others. Guys, not necessarily starters in their previous locations, and Nsekhe is one of them, although he got some starts, obviously, Feliciano, and even to a certain extent, Tyler Croft. You have to do some projecting, right, to say, we've seen this guy, we've seen him get some starts, but he's been mostly a backup guy, and you might project them as starters. How difficult is that? How important is that? And what do you look at when you're looking for that?
Yeah, I mean, you're looking for production. When they had the chance, how did it look? How did they do? How many games have they played? You know, if a guy has only played two games, then that's a bigger projection. If he's played, you know, 12 games, you know, last season versus two, then I got a little better idea of what he can do. You know, Tyler Croft, the year before, he got his opportunity when Tyler Eifert went down, and he had 40-some catches. Unfortunately, this year he had the foot injury. I think he probably was on pace to – he would have had a big year. He had really was – you know, you saw his ascension the previous year as the year went on. So we had to kind of even go back to 2017 tape to evaluate Tyler. And we just felt that had he been healthy in 18, he would have put up bigger numbers, which may have even increased his value.
That might be where the financial value is, huh? The guys that you are taking a chance on a little bit.
Yep.
You know, you're not signing Pro Bowl performers in these cases, but projecting that they could be that good, right?
Yeah, I mean,
there's value there.
There definitely is. The more sure that everybody else is, I mean, there's certain guys in this league that my mother could go out and say, hey, go sign him and pay him. Look, yeah. I'm watching the game. Yeah. He's very good at his position, okay? Yeah. There's those, but then you're right. When you get into guys that have not been every game, everyday starters, making Pro Bowls, all pro, then those are the guys that you got to do more projection. Do they fit what you're doing? And when they've had their chance, have they made plays?
Now, looking ahead, I know you said that the focus kind of starts shifting towards the draft here a little bit. You're not taking your eyes off free agency necessarily, but you got to start worrying about that too now because it's coming up fast. But then you also threw out yesterday, and I don't know if this was a message for other GMs around the league or what, but you said, look, we've got ourselves some room still to work. And, you know, if something comes up or an opportunity presents itself, you're in position to make something happen. That's an awfully big tease for everybody, Brandon. I'm not trying to put you on the spot here, but it sounds like you're trying to just kind of hold your water a little bit with the cap room you have left at your disposal. I know some of that has to go to the draft class, but how do you feel about where you sit with the money you still have at your disposal?
Yeah, I mean, we're in a what I call a cap-strong position, and that's what you ideally – you're always in. Now, sometimes you're not. The more what I call blue players, very top-end players that you add to your roster, the more money and resources you got to use. But right now we're building this thing. We got some young guys that are on rookie deals. So we are cap-strong, and all I'm saying is – and we have nothing in the works on the tease comment, but all I'm saying is most of our focus is on the draft now, but if there's an opportunity, something happens, a guy gets cut, a guy for whatever reason is available for trade that we think is a position of need, we're not done if it fits. But, again, most of our focus now will move to the draft.
That's how LeSean McCoy happened. Bill's got a call and, oh, he's available? What the heck? Okay.
You're 5 weeks away from the draft, and it appears as you approach the draft you're in a – good position where you don't have to. What do you call it? Positional emergency or
no position emergency.
You don't have
that. Sean
said that. You don't have that, right? Going into the draft.
No, we don't. That's the key to free agency is to try and eliminate that the best you can. Now, listen, we still got some spots that are not as solid as some others. You know, I don't want to get into that part of it, but we don't feel that there is a glaring hole that we have to fill immediately on this roster. But again, we do see some areas that we can get stronger, and hopefully the draft will fall our way again in some of the higher rounds for that. But again, we're going to draft best player available. I'm going to tell you that every single time, and that's real because I think that's how you build, you know, the team that we want.
How much did your evaluation of this year's draft class, you know, the draft pool this year, including the combine a couple weeks ago, how much did that play into the kind of decisions you made this past week and the guys, the free agents that you signed?
Yeah, it definitely did. If there's positions that we saw were thin in the draft and we felt they were, then we said we need to try and be a little more calculated to hit that need now so that we don't get desperate. Because what happens is when there are thin positions in the draft, everybody else sees it too, and GMs are like, hey, you know what? I know it's a round early. I'm going to go ahead and take him just to secure that I got the need. So you want to try and prevent that because you don't want to be drafting guys in the first round that you got second round grades on.
And the one guy that nobody really asked you about was the guy that signed before all this official free agency started, but Kevin Johnson, you know, I mean, this seems like a high potential reward kind of signing. I mean, I know injuries have kind of interrupted his career here the last couple of years, but if he's healthy and he's good to go, I mean, this is a talented player. I mean, he's a former first-round pick, and, I mean, he killed it. I mean, he did well at the combine, I remember. So, I mean, what do you see that same thing? There's a high potential for reward there with him.
Most definitely. You know, Kevin, I was in Carolina at the time when he came out, but he was playing at Wake Forest, so saw him, you know, a couple times up close.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had very good grades on him as well coming out, and he was drafted in the first round for a reason. You know, his play has been good when healthy.
Yeah.
The reason he was available, you know, at the price that we got him was, you know, injuries. And we've got some ideas here to try and help him. We're going to use our sports performance team to work with him. And Kevin's excited to get here. And he's a great young man. John Butler was with him in Houston.
Yep.
He fits what we do. He's an excellent zone corner. He's got good ball skills. And he plays, you know, he's kind of like Taren a little bit. He plays physical for his size. I remember a targeting penalty against Louisville. He got ejected for leveling this guy. And you didn't expect it from a guy with his thinner frame.
Kevin is one of them. There are a couple of others of the free agents you signed this week who you have to be relying on your medical staff, right, in the evaluations they've made. Is that – do you feel an element of risk there at all, or do you think you're good to go with what they've told you?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we got guys that are coming back from our roster that aren't fully healthy and things like that. So this is a physical sport, okay, and sometimes it takes guys, but we'll use the offseason. Listen, there are guys that we sign that are still getting over some aches and things like that, and we'll progress them back in just as if they've been with us the whole time. Hopefully the ones that do have injuries will be able to get back in here real quick to get with our staff because we think they've got the best rehab plan for them. But, yeah, I mean, the goal is to get as much experience as we can in the spring with these guys and then everybody be ready to go when we get to St. John Fisher.
I told you before you came on today that our Twitter poll today, I want you to get involved in it a little bit. The extent you can.
I don't have Twitter.
Well, I will read it to you.
Okay.
Yeah. here's what we're asking our listeners today and viewers. The Bills signed 9 free agents this week. Were they more active than you thought they would be in free agency? We're asking our listeners. 72% say, yeah, they are more active than I thought they'd be. 23% say it's about what I expected, 9 players 1 week. 4% say not as active as I had hoped. Where would you vote on that? Did this go – was there more volume than you thought you'd get going into this week?
I love the 4%.
Yeah, right.
Get back to work. Is that like fantasy football where you just take your whole team and wash it and you start over a new year?
There's always one line, right? There's always one.
I love it. You know, we had targets, as we said, but sometimes you don't know how it worked out. We're trying to get good players. Some years, I think it just fell a little bit better for us this year. We obviously had cap money, too, to be able to be a little more aggressive and get some guys. So I couldn't have told you whether we were going to have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, whatever it was, but I think we added some guys that will add great competition. You don't win any championships in March, so I don't want people to get, you know, too crazy, but we're excited about the guys and look forward to welcoming them here once the offseason program starts next month.
It feels like a good week. You must feel that.
Yeah, I mean, it feels it's like after the draft. You feel like you added some talent, and nothing's proven, nothing's done till they get here. But I can't wait to, you know, and the energy these guys brought. It was a lot of fun here yesterday. Some of them brought their wives, and I think I can't tell you how many of them talked about how family feel it felt with – and that's not just – that's the people in this building and people welcoming some of them with buffalo wings.
Yeah.
I had three of them, three of them told me about that, how awesome that was that they did that. And it speaks to our fans and how great they are.
There's an opportunity there, right, for a chicken wing manufacturer now. They're going to expect that now, every free agent. Where's my wings?
I know. We may lose a guy because of that now.
No wings. Brandon, thanks. Great job this week, and thanks for coming by here. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it, John.